got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just 'cause she's a living.
Bus stop where day she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella.
I think we went past the one that Joseph wanted. He didn't shout stop very loudly. Here's Cliff.
Crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just 'cause she's a living doll. Got a roving eye and that is why she satisfies my soul. Got the one and only walking, talking, doll. Take a look at her hair, it's real, and don't believe what I say, just feel. Lock her up in a trunk so no big hunk can steal her away from me. Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just 'cause she's a living doll. Got a roving eye and that is why she satisfies my soul. Got the one and only walking, talking, living doll. Lock her up in a trunk so no big hunk can steal her away from me. Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just 'cause she's a living doll. Got a roving eye and that is why she satisfies my soul. Got the one and only walking, talking, living doll.
1959 was the year. Cliff Richard and Living Doll, especially for Joe in Kentish Town on the Golden Wheel. And have a happy Hogmanay, eh, Joseph, all right? 5:25 is the time at Capital. If you get on the Golden Wheel, don't forget you got to shout stop very loudly so you get in over the music, so we know when to get yours
a
on.
A boy's born in
traces can be found in the scars of red-skinned children that have never fully healed. He's a military band. He's the animal of man.
And that you're in love with me, yeah. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know that I'm happy as can be. Who would believe that I could be happy and contented? I used to think that happiness hadn't been invented, but that was in the bad old days before I met you. When I let you walk into my heart. Congratulations
that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations.
Yeah.
I want the world to know that I'm happy as can be. I was afraid that maybe you thought you were above me, that I was only fooling myself, letting you love me. But then tonight you said you could not live without me, that around about me you wanted to stay. Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know that I'm happy as can be. Congratulations.
Everybody now.
And celebrations. When I tell everyone that you're in love with me.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I want the world to know that I'm happy as can be. I want the world to know that I'm happy as can be.
Well, at the moment, here on London Broadcasting, 417 metres in the medium wave and 97.3 VHF, we're listening to a brand new commercial radio station, and we say hello to all the people up there working hard on Radio Clyde tonight. We'll be staying with Radio Clyde right the way through to 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, it's our own LBC News, and then after the news, Tony Fox and myself, Stuart Francis, will be presenting our look back at the year of 1973, plus our own little party, so lots of fun to be had. Very shortly, we'll be going back to Tony Curry up there on Radio Clyde. But first of all, while we've got just a few seconds to fill, we thought about a quick joke, and that is, how do you annoy a Scotsman? Well, appropriately enough, how do you annoy a Scotsman? How about nailing one foot to the ground and playing an Andy Stewart record? Boom, boom. Well, in a few moments' time, we'll be returning up there to Radio Clyde. So we'll wish them once again every success as they enter a brand new year.
Here's Peter Mallon.
Hark, when the night is falling, hear the piper calling, loudly and proudly calling down through the glen. There where the hills are sleeping now, feel the blood a-leaping high as the spirits of the old Highland men. Towering and gallant fame, Scotland, the mountain hymn, high may your proud standards gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland brave. High in the misty highlands, out by the purple islands, brave are the hearts that beat beneath Scottish skies. Wild are the winds to meet you, staunch are the friends to greet you, kind as the love that shines from fair maiden's eyes. Towering and gallant fame, Scotland, the mountain hymn, high may your proud standards gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave. Far off in sunlit places, sad are the Scottish faces, yearning to feel the kiss of sweet Scottish rain. Where tropic skies are beaming, love sets the heart a-dreaming, longing and dreaming of the homeland again. Towering and gallant fame, Scotland, my mountain hymn, high may your proud standards gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart.
Peter Mallon singing Scotland the Brave. You're listening to Radio Clyde on 261, and I'll tell you somebody else who's listening. It's a Mr. Norman, 75 Thurley Road, London, SW12. And he's picking us up all the way down there in London. So happy new 261 to you, Mr. Norman. And thanks very much for phoning in and telling us that you're receiving us. We've got all sorts of things happening throughout the night, so many that I can't even begin to mention them. Instead, I'll play a record. The Alexander Brothers with 100,000 welcomes. I think they're talking about us. Welcome to Clyde, fellas.
There's 100,000 welcomes and a warmth and a kindly smile, while the countryside around you seems to say, please stay a while. Well, the exile heart rejoices in the home of Highland men. There's 100,000 voices calling you back home again. Come ye back and see us in the Highlands. Leave your cares behind. In the wondrous beauty that is Highland, to be sure you'll always find. There's 100,000 welcomes and a warm
Alexander and 100,000 welcomes. And can I say 100,000 welcomes to our listeners south of the border who are joining us via LBC tonight. And welcome to Radio Clyde, if you're listening down there in London. But our Mr. Norman, who phoned in incidentally, didn't pick us up via LBC. He picked us up via our own transmitter. Thank you. Very loyal. Right. Now, if you're interested in the time at this incredible time of night, it's 7 minutes to 11. And we've still got a little bit of 1973 left, so I'm going to try and jolly it up a little bit with a record from Jim McLeod and his band. That's not Jim McLeod, that's the Alexander Brothers. That's more like Jim McLeod and Petronella. Thank you. Jim McLeod and Petronella.
Well, for about the last 30 minutes or so, you have been listening to Radio Clyde via our own transmitters here at London Broadcasting, LBC, on 417 metres in the medium wave. That's 97.3 VHF. Radio Clyde is the brand new commercial radio station that opened up earlier on this evening. And Radio Clyde will join a number of commercial radio stations that have already opened, and there are also many more to come in the year of 1974. In fact, of course, we're rapidly approaching 1974. We have approximately 1 hour, 1 minute to go before we have a brand new year. And here on London Broadcasting, we'll be seeing the new year in style. Tony Fox and Stuart Francis, after the news, presenting a special programme covering the main events of 1973 and also, of course, the news of 1973 and the music as well. So there we are. That's all coming up after the 11 o'clock news. One other reminder, and that is that the Financial Times market report, we will also be carrying the Financial Times market report at 25 minutes past 11 o'clock. Also tonight, there will be no midnight news bulletin, and that's because we'll be going over to Trafalgar Square to join up with our reporter John Forrest in Trafalgar Square, and we'll be finding out exactly who's in the fountain and who's out of it. That's all be happening at midnight. But now it's time here on London Broadcasting to go over for the 11 o'clock news. This is 417 metres in the medium wave band, and that's 97.3 VHF.
This is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
It's 11 o'clock and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. First early returns in the Israeli general election indicate that Premier Golda Meir's Labour coalition vote is slightly down on the 1969 figures, while support for the right-wing Likud party is up. Unofficial results from 66 of the 5,000 polling stations show Labour taking 61% of the vote, compared with 62.3% 4 years ago. Likud, which official observers say has the best chance in the history of Israel of toppling Labour, has taken 16.16% so far, compared with 11.5% in the last election. The polling stations closed at 2 hours ago, with a turnout of over 80%. The president of Marks and Spencer, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit of the Middlesex Hospital. Earlier, the hospital had said he'd made better progress than expected. Meanwhile, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif last night. Stephen Somerville in Beirut has the details.
Responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif has been claimed by one of the most extreme of the Palestinian commando groups, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, led by Dr. George Habash, a dedicated Marxist. A statement issued here in the Lebanese capital accused the Jewish businessman of being a leader of the Zionist movement, which it said has committed and is still committing crimes and massacres against our Palestinian people. The front described Mr. Seif as one of the biggest financial contributors to the State of Israel and said that he had worked hard to establish its aggressive foundations. The statement, which mistakenly referred to Mr. Seif as Lord Seif throughout, was issued by the front's Beirut office after a spokesman had several times telephoned to news agencies asking for latest information about Mr. Seif's condition. Stephen Somerville, Reuters, Beirut.
It's feared the shooting could start a series of attacks on prominent Jews in Britain. The founder of the Tesco store chain, Sir Jack Cohen, said today he'd been warned of the existence of a death list. In his televised New Year message, the Soviet Communist Party Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. Referring to a crop of setbacks in 1972, he said the beginning of the year hadn't been easy, but industrial production targets had been exceeded. He said international détente had improved and specifically mentioned agreements with the United States. but he warned that aggressive forces, which he didn't specifically identify, were trying to sabotage détente. He added, "It goes without saying that we will have to take care to strengthen our country's defences." Libya has raised the posted price of its crude oil to more than $18 a barrel, well in excess of the $11 per barrel posted price announced by the OPEC countries last week. A broadcast by Radio Tripoli said the new price would go into effect on Tuesday, but gave no other details. Nigeria has also sharply increased its oil prices to more than $14 a barrel. Only last November, Nigeria almost doubled the posted price of its crude oil from more than $4 to more than $8 a barrel. The TUC's General Secretary, Mr. Len Murray, today called on the government to get Britain moving again. In his New Year speech, criticising the three-day week just introduced, he said the government's attitude was stopping the wheels of our factories turning. The coal board and the miners' union, he said, should be free to reach their own settlement. Meanwhile, 35,000 Nottingham miners today made it clear they rejected the Yorkshire miners' call for a strike. "Lose your patience and you lose your cause," was the rallying call from their branch chairman. And according to the Employment Department, there are now 640,000 workers laid off in England and Wales as a result of the coal shortage at generating stations. But in the face of hard-hit Britain comes news of a contract signed today between the Coal Board, Gulf Oil and a North Sea Oil Consortium for fresh drilling east of the Shetland Isles. In Belfast, police have released the name of the soldier who was shot and killed this afternoon. He was Guardsman Alan Doherty, aged 23, of the 2nd Battalion Scots Guards. He was the 250th person to be killed in Northern Ireland this year. The new Northern Ireland Assembly today received an assurance of cooperation from the Prime Minister of the Irish Republic, Mr. Cosgrave. In a message of congratulations to mark the Assembly's new executive, Mr. Cosgrave said that people who use violence against democratic institutions will find no refuge in the Republic. And now some dog results. The 834 at Crayford was won by Miss Heidi, a 7-4 favourite. The second was Downtown Judy at 5-1. The winning traps were 1 and 3, and the tote forecast was 89 pence. The 851 at Crayford was won by Kiltili Queen at 7-2. Second was Courtmac Lass at 7-4 favourite. The winning traps were 2 and 6, and the tote forecast £1.54. The 909 at Crayford was won by Tipsy Champion, 2-1 favourite, and second, 4 A's at 6-1. The winning traps were 1 and 4, and the tote forecast £2.28. The 927 at Crayford was won by Dungeel Rover at 5-2. Second was Cherry Kill Bertie, 2-1 favourite. The winning traps were 5 and 4, the tote forecast £1.08, and there was a non-runner, Houghton Emma. And before we rejoin Stuart Francis, just a reminder that the Financial Times stock market report, the closing report for the day, can be heard at 11:25. A reminder that our next newscast will be at 11:30.
Well, hello and welcome to the New Year's Eve show here on London Broadcasting, and it's definitely party night. Get down, I say, get down. With me in the studio, by the way, I'm Stuart Francis, with me in the studio, we have...
Oh, the Tony Fox.
You're absolutely right.
With a handful of streamers.
Would you like to go on for a 10-point bonus?
Yes, as they say in ancient Britain, Boadicea, Dacia Bode.
And with that thought, how about one of the big hits of the year? This one from the suite called Blockbuster.
Go out of your mind. You'd better not go, you never know what you'll find. Woman out from under your nose.
Does anyone know the way? Did we hear someone say?
We just haven't got a clue what to do.
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
To Blockbuster!
The cops are out. They're running about. Don't know if they'll ever be able to Blockbuster out.
He's gotta be caught.
Cause he is more evil than anyone here ever thought.
Does anyone know the way? Did we hear someone say?
We just haven't got a clue.
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
To
Well, there we go. That's the sound of the Sweets that time, and a song called Blockbuster. Well, as we said, we're taking a look back at the news, the main events, and the music of the year, and we're surrounded by newspapers and interesting charts and things. Tony, do we know where that figured in our sort of whole year of pop music?
Well, the rustle of paper, that was the seventh best-selling record of the year.
Good.
Blockbuster
heavens.
From the Sweet. Marvellous.
Good heavens. How about that? And we'll be having the best-selling record of the year. Taking us up to midnight, I think, and New Year's Eve itself.
That's right, it's on the cards.
It definitely is. Well, not only are we looking at the music, he says, reading his script, we're also looking at the news. So where would be an appropriate place to start, Tony?
Well, how about the beginning of 1973? How about finding out what was filling our daily newspapers in January?
Now here's the news for January 1973. Britain entered the common market. On Radio Caroline, broadcasts began again under a new captain. In Uganda, 88 British companies were ordered to wind up their affairs following President Amin's statement that Ugandanations would be taking over 500 businesses. In Israel, Mrs. Golda Meir became the first Israeli Prime Minister to visit the Pope, whilst in Vietnam, following Dr. Kissinger's report of the negotiations in Paris, President Nixon suspended all military action against North Vietnam. In space, Lunokhod 2, Russia's second unmanned moon exploration vehicle, was launched on January the 8th. It landed in the Sea of Serenity and began relaying pictures to the Earth. Juggernauts were in the news. The Greater London Council announced proposals to ban lorries over 40 feet long from entering central London. Back in Uganda, President Amin began a wage freeze with prison sentences for anyone pressing for large wage claims. In Washington, President Nixon was sworn in for a second term of office. The world's worst air crash occurred when a chartered airliner bringing Muslim pilgrims home from Mecca crashed on landing at Kano Airport in northern Nigeria. About 180 of the 202 people on board the Royal Jordanian Airways jet were killed. Boxing, the World Heavyweight Championship, was won by George Foreman, who knocked down Joe Frazier six times in two rounds. On January the 22nd, the former president, Lyndon Johnson of the USA, died from a heart attack. There was a volcano on Hymie off the south coast of Iceland, and it erupted for the first time in thousands of years, almost dividing the island in two. Most of the inhabitants were evacuated to the mainland. Immigration was in the news. The new immigration regulations were announced. The Home Secretary said that Britain could not accept another mass influx on the scale of the expelled Uganda nations. And in Uganda, on the second anniversary of President Amin's accession to power, new currency notes bearing a picture of the President Amin's head were announced. And that's the news of January 1973.
And many thanks to John Forrest with the main events that were filling our newspapers in January. What a month that was, in fact, Stuart. Do you remember Mrs. Lee, who had 15 children?
No.
And the only problem was that she ran out of names to call Mr. Lee.
groan, as we say. Actually, perhaps I could explain to everybody, Tony, our precise surroundings. We're surrounded by Dennis Rickard. No, to be absolutely truthful, Dennis Rickard has kindly agreed to come in and studio produce our programme, which is amazing. We really are absolutely honoured. And the other thing is, this is a brand new first for London Broadcasting, because this is the first radio programme with a studio audience, and we have an enormous audience. Some people think we're a small radio station, but don't be fooled, because we have an enormous audience in the studio with us at the moment. Perhaps you'd like to give us a quick ripple, if you could. Thank you very much.
Absolutely
that was
incredible.
That was our enormous...
The entire Stuart Francis fan club, who'll be meeting in the phone booth down the road in about 10 minutes' time.
1973... was a year of the Eurovision Song Contest. Well, in fact, there's always a Eurovision Song Contest, isn't there?
One every year.
And we always lose. Well, mm-hmm. we used to win a few years ago, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We lost this year.
Didn't do too badly this year, though, did we?
What was the song?
I think it was something called Power to All Our Friends.
That's absolutely amazing, because by complete coincidence, I believe we've got Uncle Cliff about to sing for you.
Power to all our friends, to the music that never ends, to the people we want to be. Baby, power to you and me.
There's one old man, spends his life growing flowers, caring for the bees.
Power to the bees.
There's one old lady, spent her days making wine, the wine tasted fine,
power to the vine.
Power to the boys that played rock and roll, I made my life so sweet.
Well, there we are, at 16 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock, looking back to our entry in the Eurovision Song Contest that flopped. Well, it didn't quite flop, it finished second. That was Cliff Richard singing Power to All Our Friends. What did you think of that?
Well, I didn't think it was too bad. I quite enjoy Cliff Richards anyway. I think he's a very lovable character. And I'll say no more.
Blimey.
I'll say no more.
I thought that was absolutely atrocious. I think we will have to turn to our studio audience for their opinion on Cliff Richards singing Power to All Our Friends.
Rubbish!
A very good march.
Thank you very much. Now, I think we ought to move along with the news as well. Now, we've had January. Let's take a look at February 1973.
Now here's the news for February 1973. The appeal court lifted the ban on the Andy Warhol documentary film made for independent television. Commercial radio first came into the news with the announcement that the London Broadcasting Company and Capital Radio were named as the two companies in charge of Britain's first commercial radio stations. In Ethiopia, Princess Anne arrived for a 12-day visit. A gas strike, the first full day of industrial action by gas men, caused reduced pressures in more than 2.5 million homes on the 14th of February. A shooting in Aldwych. Police shot dead two Pakistanis who forced their way into the India High Commission in the Aldwych. It was later discovered that the guns carried by the raiders were imitations. In Uganda, President Amin ordered all his ministers to take 30 days leave as a measure against illness through overwork. ASLEF members began a 24-hour strike after a meeting with British Rail representatives failed to settle their grievances. And that was the news for February 73.
Oh, a year of bombs and rail strikes and bombs and rail strikes and... What's next, Tony?
Well, let's take a little look back at the film world, shall we?
I thought you were going to fall off your chair then when you said, no, let's take a look back. Are you all right?
I'm on the ball, Stuart, on the ball.
Really? It looks like it, the way you're sitting.
Okay. No, we're going to take a look back at the film world. There have been many, many good films this year.
Do you
year.
Have problems with your trousers?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Sorry.
Also have problems with the teeth.
Really?
And also have problems with chaps who sit in hot seats and keep interrupting me.
I beg your pardon. Now, okay. Please talk about the film Die and Let Live.
This is my pièce de résistance. I've been practising this all day. One of the biggest films of the year, one of the biggest box office draws, just had to be those belonging to Dennis Rookard. And also, I had to be had to belong to a film known as Live and Let Die, which, of course, was the James Bond film. And in a second, we'll be having the theme song from that film. Of course, it was sung by Paul McCartney and Wings.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you live and let die.
Well, there we are. As Tony said, that was the theme music from the James Bond movie, Live and Let Die, released on Apple Records. And what a tremendous film it was. I didn't actually see it, but Tony keeps telling me all about it anyway. Right, we move on with the news now, don't we, Tony? Where have we got to?
Well, we've done January, we've done February. How about taking a little look back at March?
Why not?
Now here's the news for March 1973. On the 5th of March, an air crash. In a mid-air collision between two Spanish airliners, 47 British holidaymakers were among the 68 who died. BEA and British Caledonian cancelled flights across France, where air traffic controllers are on strike. The largest marijuana haul in the United States history took place when seven people were arrested in possession of more than 9 tons of the drug. The ASLEF dispute, no passenger trains ran. Underground services were halved due to further strike action by ASLEF. Bomb explosions came into the news. In London, 200 people were treated at hospital following bomb explosions in front of the Central Criminal Court and in Whitehall. Police detained seven men and women awaiting flights to Ireland. In Bermuda, Sir Richard Sharples, Governor of Bermuda, and his aide-de-camp were shot dead as they strolled in the grounds of Government House. In Northern Ireland, the army arrested nearly 100 UDA men when 300 of its members tried to enter a predominantly Roman Catholic housing estate on the outskirts of Belfast. The new London Bridge was opened by the Queen, who met representatives of the firm which bought the former bridge. Iceland, in the Cod War, live rounds were used for the first time when an Icelandic gunboat fired two shots across the bows of the British support tug, the Statesman. The sudden flooding of a mine shaft at Lofthouse Colliery near Wakefield trapped seven men. Rescue operations found only one body on March the 26th. Mrs. Linda Deramo was awarded custody of her baby Caroline, ending a 14-month legal battle between the two parents. And the government decided that contraceptives would be obtainable by prescription under the National Health Service. Finally, in March 1973, on March the 26th, Sir Noel Coward died after a heart attack at his home in Jamaica.
And there it is, the news for March 1973, and that was all of 9 months ago. It makes you feel very old, doesn't it?
Actually, what they failed to omit in that news bulletin for March 1973 was the fact it was my birthday in March.
Was it really?
Yes.
Other things happened in March as well, actually, but should we go into those?
Pardon?
I believe a new arrival turned up quite recently.
That was all down to a riotous evening at a show business football match when I returned rather drunk, but I'm not allowed to mention that because my wife is listening at the moment, so I'll say hello to Stephanie. Tell you what, let's have another record. Now, one of my favourite records of 1973 must have figured highly in our charts. It came from Gilbert O'Sullivan. The title was Get Down. Have a squint through. Where did this one come in our top chart of the whole year?
11th bestseller of the year.
11th. It should have been number one, I tell you. Here's Gilbert and Get Down. What a tremendous sound indeed. That was Gilbert O'Sullivan, one of two or three hits in 1973, and a song called Get Down. Well, Tony and I will be back after the 11:30 news bulletin with more of our special New Year's Eve programmes, the news, the main events, and of course the music of 1973 as we take LBC into 1974. But now it's time for us to go over to the Financial Times to join Pauline Clark.
Well, after a dull day's trading ahead of the new year, prices on the stock market ended quietly mixed. However, after an early downturn in prices at the start of the three-day working week, investors regained their confidence and managed to lift most prices off the bottom. In the face of little selling, the Financial Times index at the close was up 1.1 at 344.0. The gilt sector was very slack, with losses of a 16th or an 8th recorded right down the list. And in the industrial sectors, leading shares moved only narrowly, closing within a penny or two of levels reached before the weekend. Buildings, however, produced some bright spots, particularly Costain and Taylor Woodrow, who were in demand throughout the day on that £91 million contract with Dubai. Costain was up 9 pence at 121, and Taylor Woodrow gained 15 pence at 229. Bovis also did well on hopes for developments from its bid approach, gaining 18 pence to 126. Leading banks were down by around 10 at the outset, but recovered to show gains ranging to 5 pence. But properties mostly lost ground. Gold shares, however, forged ahead on the strength of the gold price, with rises of up to 25 pence. Other news, French officials hope that Britain will join the project to build a European Airbus, now that the British Aircraft Corporation has, for the moment at least, abandoned plans to build a rival plane. The Airbus, equipped with two American General Electric CF6 engines, goes into service on the London-Paris route next summer. But French officials now say that the plane could be fitted with Rolls-Royce engines to meet the requirements of British Airways. In London, Trade and Industry Secretary Peter Walker announced that the government is sending a team of industrialists to Iran to spearhead a major export drive to the Middle East next year. And in Washington, the Nixon administration announced the introduction of an hour's daylight saving so as to save fuel. This will mean that we'll get Wall Street news here an hour earlier than usual. It was a slack day too on the foreign exchange market, where most operators were reluctant to deal in advance of New Year positions. However, the pound did fairly well, staging a broad advance against the dollar much of the day, and ending at $2.3232.5, compared with its overnight level of $2.3185. The pound's advance was attributed to the settlement of the power workers' dispute, although occasional commercial deals were said to have had a disproportionate effect on the rates. But nowhere was quieter than on the bullion market, where continental operators were largely absent on holiday. The gold price remained at $112.25 an ounce most of the day, but gained an extra 25 cents at the close. On the London Metal Exchange, cash prices for base metals were copper 871, tin 2725, lead 244.5, and zinc 597.5.
And that was Pauline Collins with the Financial Times report. Very shortly, we'll be coming back with the New Year's Eve spectacular. We'll be listening to the mast pipes of the National Federation of Tobacconists. And we'll also be having Paul McCartney in, who's going to talk to us about how to make an apple split. Meanwhile, it's nearly 11:30, which means it's time for LBC News.